You've previously seen an overview of Azure SQL capacity planning. In this video, we'll dive into the differences between DTU and vCore. Tune in to this episode of Data Exposed. Hi, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed. I'm once again joined by Silvano, a program manager on the Azure SQL database team. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And today we're going to continue this discussion about Azure SQL capacity planning. And specifically, we're going to dive into the differences between DTUs and vCores and when you might choose which and what some of those details are.
Sure. As I said in previous video, essentially this is the first dimension that we have to consider when start planning for our Azure SQL DB deployments, right? And the reason why we are offering these two models is because we want to address the needs for both the brand new applications or solutions that customers are developing and deploying on Azure SQL database when there is no history in terms of existing sizing and requirements from an existing system like we have in our own on-premises data center. But again, it's a complete kind of greenfield situation, right? So the DTU model in this particular scenario is probably the most effective one for customers because basically let them to start thinking in terms of a linear bundle of resources like compute and storage that can progressively scale up or down depending on their needs and is really simple to think about. So DTU effectively provides this simplified approach to the capacity planning process itself, where instead the vCore model is effectively giving customers the ability to scale independently those dimensions, those resources like compute and storage and pick up what is the closest option to what they already have in their existing systems. By letting you to specify things like the amount of vCores that you want to deploy is also enabling new economic models like the ability to reuse existing licenses that you may have for SQL Server through the Azure Hybrid Benefit option that we have, right? So you already have licensed cores on-prem, you can reuse those licenses in Azure SQL database and reduce significantly the amount of the cost of running your workload in Azure. Right? So the main difference between these two models, DTU is very simple, focused on the amount of workload and traffic that you are running against your database. vCore model is more targeting existing workloads that you are moving into Azure.
Got it. Thanks for explaining that. Makes a lot of sense. Now, you know, it looks like you want to tell us about benchmarking, and this is something our on-prem folks are very familiar with. So why don't you tell us, you know, what this DTU benchmark might look like?
Exactly. As the name, you know, database throughput unit implies, we needed a way to represent what this throughput unit really means. So we came out with this synthetic benchmark, which is inspired to industry standard benchmarks like the TPCC, and is very representative of the typical OLTP workload that we have in many applications. So as a rule of thumb, you can think about this throughput unit as essentially one transaction per second executed on a schema, which is, again, a very classic. We have a number of tables, different sizes. Some of these sizes are fixed and some are growing, like accumulating new records. Again, very similar with primary keys. There's no referential integrity in this particular one. But essentially, we are running some representative transactions, these 9 different transaction types. Some are more light, medium, and heavy. So some, for example, are reading less records. Some are reading more. But essentially, the combination of these transactions are what we use to determine what is the exact throughput of this one throughput unit that you can pick up. And essentially, you can start thinking in terms of this particular workload when you're sizing your databases in Azure SQL DB. On the other hand, when we have to translate this DTU, this throughput units into some additional properties that our database instances will have. We have full documentation about this. And in the Azure SQL database website, you will find tables like this that are basically explaining for all the different service tiers that we have available and compute sizes, what are the maximum amount of DTU, included storage, so the data volume that that particular service tier and compute size can host, and some other very important informations, like, for example, the maximum amount of concurrent workers that are effectively the number of threads that are picking up concurrent requests from the clients, from the customers, right? So with these numbers in mind, we can start comparing what are the, you know, these limits with what is what our workload is. So how many concurrent users we have and how many transactions they are expecting to execute in a given amount of time, and what is basically the amount of storage that we will be needed, right? We also need to keep in mind that there are some differences here. Basic compute size and service tier, plus you know, the initial compute sizes available in standard, like S0, S1, and S2, are intended for the typical kind of development and testing type of workloads. So for real world workloads, we are not recommending actually those compute sizes. While starting from S3, which is a standard 3 in this case, we start to have an amount of DTUs and background resources that can effectively run your workloads. And again, for those that are more familiar or need to convert between DTUs and cores, we have again some rule of thumbs here, where one basically 100 DTUs are corresponding roughly to one vCore in the vCore model, and between 5 and 7 gigabytes per core that we have available depending on the hardware generations. So in the SQL, in Azure SQL Database Engine, we also have some dynamic management views like this DM underscore user underscore DB underscore resource underscore governance, which are providing us with some good information about, you know, basically what these DTUs effectively mean in terms of hardware resources. So I'm going to quickly share my SQL Server Management Studio here, and I do have one instance in my Azure SQL database that I'm running this DMV query against. And you can see you get a number of interesting informations here from this particular instance. We get the service level objective name, which is giving us what is the compute size, in this case S3, and also another important information is this number here at the end, which means this is a Gen 5, Gen 6 hardware generation. So in the documentation, you will find the differences in terms of compute characteristics between these different hardware generations. But again, from this DMV, you also get some interesting informations like what is the minimum amount of vCores that you have available? What is the maximum degree of parallelism? Like in this case, S3 will basically get no parallel queries. So only one thread, one concurrent basically thread will be able to execute on the queries. But you also get, for example, the amount of database memory, things like, very important one, this primary max log rate, which is basically telling us what is the maximum log throughput that our transaction log will support with this particular one. This is particularly important because every time you have a lot of singleton insert transactions, insert updates, and delete transactions, the transaction log is effectively the most scarce resource you have in the system. So from here, you can start thinking about, hey, you know, I have 2.6, 2.7 megabytes per second that I can ingest into the system. So I can start from my transaction size and determine what is the maximum number of transactions per second that I can have. So by looking at these different dimensions and informations, you can start thinking in terms of what is the maximum throughput and workload that my S3 instances, in this case, can afford.
Awesome. Thanks, Silvano. That's really interesting. I like the level of details and numbers that you're able to show. And it seems like we can really easily kind of track what we've provisioned by using those DMVs. Now, we talked about DTUs. How does this compare to vCore?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we did introduce this vCore based model because, as I said, it was probably the simplest way to go for customers that already have an existing workload running in an on-prem system. And again, with the vCore model, you can start by picking up a given amount of cores in your system. I already mentioned the fact that as we progress over time in our data center deployments, we may have different hardware generations deployed and running in parallel. Right? So you can pick up with the vCore model, which is the best hardware generation for your workload, knowing that those hardware generations are slightly different. Like in this case, again, is fully documented in our documentation that Gen 4, for example, have this mapping, direct mapping between vCores and physical CPUs, and you have a maximum of 24 vCores for your largest instance deployed in Azure SQL Database. For Gen 5 deployments instead, we have this equivalence of one vCore to one hyper-threaded core, but we can scale much more up to 80 vCores. Right, so this is already one kind of dimension that we have, and knowing that, as I mentioned, we have also the cost benefit of Azure hybrid usage, so the ability to actually reuse existing licenses, you can effectively pick up which one of these two models fits, you know, your needs. And again, when you are considering those service tiers, we are publishing all the internal details of these different compute sizes that we have. So starting from the three service tiers, general purpose, business critical, and hyperscale, we know that, for example, the general purpose comes with a certain amount of resources that we can deploy, starting from, you know, the one core up to 80 cores. And one very important aspect here is that in terms of storage subsystem, the general purpose is providing remote storage for hosting our database files. So the expected read-write I/O latency is in the range of 2 to 5 milliseconds, right? This means that your transactions, transaction execution times will never be less than these 2 milliseconds. When we move into the business critical tier instead, we are running our database and log files into locally attached storage. So we can reduce significantly the latency in terms of accessing storage behind the scenes. This means that business critical is the best service tier we have for hosting those highly transactional workloads where every millisecond counts in terms of response times. In business critical, we can also scale to the largest offers we have today with the M-series compute tier, where we can scale up to 128 cores and 4 terabyte of RAM for a single database instance. So very large instance to run the most critical workloads on that. And on the other hand, we have hyperscale, which again, as I described, previously is the new storage engine for the cloud in Azure SQL Database, which is giving us the ability to scale up to hundreds of terabytes, right? So you can think about these dimensions that I just mentioned, and those are the important ones to consider when you're moving from your existing workloads into Azure SQL Database.
Thanks, Silvano. You know, I think that really cleared things up for me and hopefully for many of our users. And it was interesting to see some of the benefits that you get when you move to the vCore model, things like hyperscale and serverless and Azure Hybrid Benefit, but also that you get, you know, potentially you can run your dev test workloads in your basic or lower standard DTU models. That was something I wasn't really aware of. So thanks for sharing that with us. And thanks for joining us on the show today. And if you're watching this video, thanks for watching. And please like and comment and let us know if you're using DTU or vCore model. See you next time on Data Exposed.